This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. And now a story from our partners at Failure Lab. Ralph Gill works as head of design for Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. At a recent storytelling event in Detroit, this son of immigrant Haitian parents shared his struggles to meet his family's expectations and figure out how to build success with the talents he had.
My name is Ralph Gill. I'm son of immigrant Haitian parents. Very, very proud Haitian parents. I think my dad, the whole time I grew up, must have blurted out 200 times, "Did you know, son, we're the first free black republic in the Western Hemisphere?" You just always remind me of where we came from and how important it was to be Haitian, to be proud, to be successful. And they were very, very strict parents, extremely strict. And I also remember the first time I thought about, wow, I must really like cars. I remember being about 7 years old, and it's right when the Superman movie came out. It was a big deal, right? And at the same time, this movie called Hooper came out. And my parents, we never went to movies. I mean, going to movies, it was like, white people go to movies, we don't go to movies. And they, you know, I said, "I really want to go see the movie, Dad. And I want to see both movies." "Goes, son, we can only afford to send you one movie. Which one are you going to pick?" And I picked Hooper. It was from the, you know, Smokey and the Bandits, the Burt Reynolds thing. Why? Because they had a black Trans Am in it. That's the only reason I wanted to go to the movie. It was a terrible movie. And they sent me there in a three-piece suit. It was so awkward. But when they were kids, you know, you went to movies in a three-piece suit, right? But in the back of my head, I go, man, I really must like cars if I suffered through that thing. So my whole life, I kind of was sketching a lot. I really enjoyed cars. I loved everything about it. But it was always just a hobby. I mean, it's a foreign idea. Just, what are you going to do with just drawing cars? And when I was a kid, school nights were every night except for Friday and Saturday. We just didn't play. Always at home. And if I was caught doing anything but studying, my parents would always say, "Go read a book. Why aren't you reading a book?" So that was pretty much how I grew up. And my brother was that guy. My brother would teach himself lessons in his own bedroom. Physics lessons, calculus lessons. He had a chalkboard put in his bedroom. And he would sit down and write out the formulas and then stand up and pretend he was the teacher and talk to himself. And like, but once in a while, he would drag me in his room and make me be that student and just suffer through these lessons. That he was just unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it. And I wanted to be him. I wanted to live up to that. I wanted to be that guy, be that person my dad kept describing, this proud, intelligent, successful person. And my whole life, my parents would ship me, you know, they worked, they both worked, would ship me to Ohio with my aunt, and one summer I spent, when I was 15, 16, I spent 2 summers in Long Island, New York, working at, you know, a grocery store, and I would sketch. I was bored senseless. I mean, their kids were grown, they didn't know what to do with me, so I would just be in the, as soon as I came back from Food Town, and she saw my sketches, and she'd be like, "Wow, you should really do this for a living. You should do something with this art." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? It's just a hobby." And she, you know, she helped me craft a letter to Lee Iacocca. And at the time, I don't know, this is back in '85, and Lee Iacocca was on TV saying, "If you can find a better car, buy it." You know, so we did write a letter. It was a really pompous letter. It's like, you know, my nephew's the best sketcher in the world, yada yada. And they wrote back literally that summer, a couple of months later, said, "Well, here are these schools." And they talked about, you know, one happens to be in Detroit, schools all over the U.S. And to a kid who comes from Montreal, they sounded like they were in Mars. I mean, these places were just out of my lexicon. I didn't even know what they meant. So I largely ignored the letter. I just kind of took it home and put it away. And you have to understand, school, you know, thanks to my brother, his influence, school was easy for me. I was an honorable student, straight A's, did really, really well in school. But I was sketching. I was always back of the class, couldn't be bothered. And I would test okay, just enough to get an A. And I was always drawing, you know. No one knew what to do with me. My parents didn't know what to do with me. I didn't know what to do with me. I just loved sketching and drawing. And I remember when I graduated, having that funny feeling, say, okay, now what am I going to do? My parents would always talk about these successful uncles. Uncle was an engineer. Uncle was a doctor. My famous uncle was an eye surgeon. I mean, they would just list nothing but the best. I mean, it's like, you got to be one of these people or else who are you, right? That was my dad. Proud. Proud Haitian. If you're not a doctor, lawyer, surgeon, you know, rescuing the world, who are you? So I graduated, and I went to college. And I remember that calculus and the physics and all that stuff that came easy to me suddenly became very hard. I mean, I just could not understand what was going on. I was starting to get scared. I was like, whoa, this is not easy anymore. Why is this so hard? I used to be able to sketch and then write the test and pass. Now I can't even understand. And it just got worse and worse and worse. 6, 7, 8 weeks get by, and I was starting to really, like, dread going to school. Something I used to love doing, I dreaded it. And then one day, I just didn't go to school anymore. And I kind of faked it for a while. I would just kind of disappear during the day, go to coffee shops or whatever they had back then, and just come home at the time it would be around when school would be done. And then one day, my parents caught on to it. It was like, what are you doing? I said, well, I kind of dropped out of school. Like, you did what? Dropped out of, you know, to a Haitian family. I think the world stopped turning for a while. And at that point, my parents also didn't know what to do with me. And they just stopped talking to me. So my dad looked at me like he was spitting. Every time he saw me, he was like, what? And he said, well, if you're not going to go to school, you better get a job. So I did that. I looked around for a job. I applied. I remember Kentucky Fried Chicken denied my application. I was like, really? And I tried to work at McDonald's, and I couldn't get a job because I couldn't afford construction boots. You had to have construction boots, I don't know, in case you drop something on your feet. So finally, a hardware store gave me a job, and I worked. I was happy. And one day, the person that, you know, those things at the end of the aisles that have the artsy displays, one guy was sick and said, hey, Ralph, you want to help out? And I was really good at it. And they promoted me. I was, like, getting promoted all the time, and I finally did those window displays. They go, man, this kid's really good at that stuff. So I was like, I was happy. I was like, this is my job. This is it. I'm gonna be a hardware store dude. You know? There's nothing with that. I mean, I was making money. Everything was great. So in the daytime, I was happy. But at night, when I had to come home and put that key in the door, I would shake. I was literally shaking. I was so scared of my father and scared of my mother. And I would go in the house, and they would have this cold dinner kind of waiting for me. And it was cold because the house was cold. Everything was cold. And it wasn't just my parents. Some of my family members really were almost disgusted in me. So I basically scurried down to the basement as soon as I finished dinner and hide and keep to myself. I played video games. At the time it was Atari. I don't know if some of you guys remember that. And I played a lot of video games. And then I just couldn't wait to go back to work. That was the highlight of the day, was getting in my car and going to work. And that routine went on and on and on. All of a sudden, before I knew it, it was April, 4.5 months later. And my brother came home for spring break. And my brother was in med school, right? So I'm the black sheep. He's the angel. And he said to me, he goes, Ralph, what are you doing with your life? You know, what are you going to do? And I said, what do you mean what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a manager someday. I'm going to run this hardware store. And I'm going to this. And I was like in belief, you know. And he goes, no, you're not. I said, yes, Sam. Anyway, so he said, where's that letter you keep talking about? I said, oh, that's fantasy. You know, so we dug up the letter, and it was 4 addresses, and we looked it up, and we called the school, and yada, yada. And that's part of how clueless I was. I never really realized that there was this place in Detroit. And my brother looked at the letter and said, well, you can apply to this school, why not? And I said, yeah, whatever, I'm going to draw some things. Well, you need a portfolio by Friday. So it was about 9 days we had. And he said, why don't we just draw? Just, you know, when you come home from work, I'm here, I'll help you out. And we did that. So we sketched, and he had to make 10 pieces. I had nothing. I just had scrabbly sketches. But I felt like a failure because I didn't think it meant anything. So we just sketched away, and I didn't think my work was that good. I remember giving it to my mom, and she looked at me like, whatever. And we rolled up the 10 pieces I had to do in a tube. And she worked at Royal Bank of Canada, so she could, like, FedEx it for free, you know. And she took it to work and mailed it away. That's my story. Thank you.
Ralph Gill is head of design for FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. His story and others from our partners at Failure Lab can be found at failure-lab.com.